For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will be one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband.
Appreciate you. We're glad you're here. We're glad you're here. Some of the people we're really glad to see. I saw Grace Rogers back there. Well done, girl. Yeah. We're also we've got lots of friends have come home. Lots of mothers being honored. Our seniors. Look at the number of kids we've got here now. This is wonderful, and I'm really proud of them. There's going to be. You want to stay for the. For the presentation of the Bibles and the reward form. You want to stay for lunch? We're having lunch down the hall. We've got plenty down there. So please be sure and stay for all of that and be a part of this. Somebody forgot the big announcement that we need to make here, and that is on the we need 15 people and 15 shovels. On May the 18th at 7:30 will be breakfast. And then the shoveling. They're going to do some work around here, and they need some help. One guy will take about a month to do it. 15 of you can do it in an hour or two. So let's all be involved in that. I'm going to try real hard not to have my crippling arthritis that comes and goes. But we're glad that you're here. Also, we want to be sure, and my family, those that are in-laws, outlaws, anybody's kin to me, before you go eat, go into room 202, okay? Surprises await. A scripture we just read is an interesting one. It talks about husbands and wives. It talks about, and he calls it a mystery. And it's a mystery in more ways than Paul was talking about, because Paul was talking about how the home looks like the church and reminds us of Jesus and the church. But we know the home and family, husbands, wives, children, all of that going on there is a mystery anyway. The fact that it works lets us know that God created it. And I want us to think a little bit about what he is telling us here when he says, but I take it to mean Christ and the church. You know, there's some questions that we want to answer that we just have a hard time getting our mind around. How can we understand the Word of God? I mean, how can we ever come up with the definitions for the world? We know what the words mean, but when you put them all together, he's talking about things that are way outside of our ability to comprehend. We know what eternity means, but the thought of it we have a hard time with. His promises are so amazing. They're beyond our imagination. His revelation is beyond us. The Word even says that man's ways are not God's ways. And we sure know that when we're studying the Bible. Second question. How can God, who is completely righteous, have fellowship with us who are so sinful? And why would he even try? Why would this even be something that he would think of? Third question. How can a righteous God who has holy wrath towards all sin ever forgive a sinful people? Fourth question. How can the citizens of earth also be citizens of heaven? Fifth question. How can the Spirit of God be one with the spirit of man? You know what I'm talking about. One of the answers to this is the home. Before God wrote a word of scripture, before he gave us the church, before Jesus came and revealed him, God, to us fully, he put us in the first school that all of us ever went to. He put us in a family someplace. And that's where we learn, and we learn to understand. And so that when he reveals his truth to us in a more detailed way, we already have a little bit of an idea of it. He reveals his will and illustrates his truth in the home. We were born helpless. We couldn't eat. We couldn't defend ourselves. We couldn't even scratch our own nose. And we had to learn to trust. And faith is one of the very most important things that we have that we can demonstrate to God. We learned to trust our parents because they were big enough to take care of us and dependable enough to do it, and they loved us enough to want to do it. They protected us and provided for us. I can't think about my mother or father without thinking about the terrible sacrifices that they made trying to keep four hungry boys fed, keep us out of jail, out of hell, trying to keep us in where we needed to be, doing what we needed to do, and always there as staunch providers for us. When I think about my mother especially, I think about her being way in over her head trying to provide for us. One night at about 10 o'clock, I woke up. I'd just gone to sleep. I woke up and I realized the Thanksgiving pageant was the next day at the grade school, and I was the star of the show. I was the turkey. And I had no turkey costume that I was supposed to have told her about weeks and weeks before. I went in and I said, "Mother, I need a turkey costume tomorrow." And she made one. And I really looked like a turkey in it. We learn in the home about the wrath of God towards sin. If you grew up in a good home, you realize that sin was not tolerated. Lies were capital offenses, weren't they? At least corporal offenses. We thought they were capital. And rebellion was not tolerated at all. We learned that at home. We learned more about it in the Bible, but we learned who we were. And we learned that from our parents, and with me a lot from my mother. We learned how the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one of the great mysteries, can be three individuals called God, and yet be one. How can that be possible? But as the passage that Paul just wrote to us, we learn it because we know a little bit about it, because husbands and wives become one, and it transcends anything that we're thinking about when we enter into that marriage. It becomes a mystical, spiritual, amazing thing, so that eventually we read each other's minds, and we even start looking like each other. How is that possible? But we know it is. We see it around us. And so we believe what God tells us about that other mystery. And we learn in a home, the first time we learned this, how a righteous God with his holy wrath can forgive and will forgive a man. All of us have been the prodigal, standing on the road, crying before the parents that we've offended and broke their heart, asking for forgiveness, and wonders of wonders, we get it. And so we know by that first book that we read, we know that God will keep his word too. Why does he do all of that? The same reason your mother forgave you. Because at home we learn about how love transcends everything. It's at home that we learn our place, not just our place at the table and which bed is ours, but we know this is the place where we belong. When the girls were little and we would be coming home from some trip, it was always late at night when we got home, and we played a little game. It started off with us saying, "I see Mart," because we lived in a little town called Mart. Then it was, "I see Medill." And then for years, and even sometimes Patsy and I still say it, when we see the lights of San Angelo for the first time that night, we say, "I see San Angelo." There was never any real prizes for that game. The prize was, we're almost home. We never had a farm or a homestead or a place like Tara was to the lady in Gone with the Wind. But home was where our mother was. That's why if I went back to the house I grew up in, it wouldn't be the same. It would be a little nostalgic. But who I want to see isn't there. Mother was there. The kids come over to our house not because it's a great house, not because it's luxurious. They come over because we're there. And they love that place. And I go back there every day because it's where I belong. The scripture says God put eternity in our hearts, but our mothers and fathers, but especially our mothers, blew that flame and kept it burning. So that now, wonder of wonders, we're getting homesick for a place we've never been. Because our older brother told us before he left, I go to prepare a place for you. And in our father's house, there's plenty of room. And if I go, I'll come back. And so we look forward to going to a place that, the place that we belong. And we learn that lesson first at home. Paul told the church at Corinth that you're a book read by all men. So if you didn't have a good home, you knew somebody that did. And you stood at the window and peeked in and said, that's the way it's supposed to be. If you had a good home, you know what I'm talking about. If you're in the position of a parent now, you have an amazing thing. Paul even told women in the book of 1 Timothy that women are saved through childbearing. And he wasn't just talking about having babies. He was talking about you're the ones that keep the first book, the book where we learn how to understand spiritual things, where we learn how to pray, where we learn about forgiveness, where we learn about faith. He tells us in another, or Peter tells us when he's writing to families that were going through all kinds of things, and some women were married to men who weren't Christians, and he said some of those men will become Christians, not because you read the scripture to them all the time or drag them to church, but because you're a Christian. The first book can't be ignored. Most people, everyone should. This is really good. It's the truth. It's from God. It'll show you how to get to heaven. Most people don't read this book. Best-selling book there ever was. Most people have it, but they don't read it. But they read you. Most children don't learn their memory verses, but they will never forget what you say to them, mothers. They will never forget the lines that you draw, dads. They will never forget that I don't ever went hungry. I was always loved. And it opens the door in our mind and in our heart for later revelations from God's Word and God's Son. And even in the church, even in the assembly, what we're, besides our worship to God, which is a glorious thing, most of the work we're doing is supporting, or should be, supporting you and making sure that first book is open. If you didn't have a good home when you were growing up, make a good home now and be a part of the teaching of God's Word with the first book that He presented. Before there was a church, before there was a school, before there was a government, there was the home. God created it for this purpose, because He is not willing that any should perish. And He holds back nothing to make us understand it. He even calls Himself our Father. He talks about the church as the family of God. Because maybe even if we don't know one scripture, we know about family. We know there's a place we belong. There's a relationship that we know is eternal, and that door is open. As you get homesick for heaven, what are you really saying? I want to go home. I want to be there. Now, the fact that my mother is there pleases me greatly. But the Heavenly Father, who never did anything to me but good, and my older brother who died for me, is waiting there, and that's the real reason I know I belong there. If this doesn't sound like your story, this is the time to make it right. Won't you come to Him as we stand and sing?